Let me ask you a question that might just seem a little bit silly to you. Are things that are different, or are they really the same? When you leave church this morning and go to the Bob Evans restaurant, you order meatloaf. Do you expect it to be different from the chicken fried steak, or do you expect it to be the same? Well, of course, it's going to be different. That's why there's different things on the menu. Have you considered the church that you go to? You may go to a Baptist church, a Church of Christ, a Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. Who knows what kinds of church you go to? But is it the same as all the other churches? Do they teach the same things? Do they believe all the same things? Or do they have different names on the door because they believe different things about the Bible? Well, we're going to take a look at some different things in your Bible today, letting different things be different, instead of trying to make them all the same. What a concept! This is the subject material of today's Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall His praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the Master's grace of Jesus.
And a wonderful Sunday morning to each and every one of you. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, located at 313 South Jefferson Street, right in downtown Dayton, Ohio. We have not seen you show up yet, so we continue to make these radio broadcasts, bringing them to you so that you can learn how to, 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the word of truth. We are Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Dividers of a King James Bible. We have a Bible that we believe, and we let it say whatever it wants to say. We let the differences be differences. There again, what a concept that is. I'm going to point out some of those differences to you today in our lesson, but first we're going to take a moment and listen to this message.
Have you figured out that not everything in your Bible seems to make sense? You want to do right. You want to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. But the mysteries seem to be just that, still a mystery. You already know that a person is justified, a soul is saved. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. But there are still things in your Bible that bother you. We read in Romans chapter 5:1, how that we are justified by faith, and you're at peace with God. But then the confusion starts to set in when you read in James 2:24, when James says that justification is a product of works, and not faith alone. You read in your Bible that Paul says in Romans chapter 4:5, how that Abraham was justified because he believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness, but then the confusion grows when James tells you in chapter 2, verse 21, that Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac upon the altar. You've been wanting to tell everyone you know about the love of Jesus and how he died on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, but you are afraid. Afraid because you've read Mark chapter 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And you already know that the signs of Mark chapter 16 aren't following you, and now you're afraid that maybe you don't really believe. Pentecostal charismatic preacher told you that the reason you didn't talk in tongues, the reason you didn't get a healing, was that your faith is weak and you still have secret sin in your life. One church will tell you that asking Jesus into your heart is the plan of salvation. One says you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. Yet another will have you say a prayer like, "Oh Jesus, I am a sinner. Please save me. I'm trusting you to get me to heaven. Amen." Still another tells you that you're not saved by faith alone, but rather, Jesus did His part, now you need to do yours. They tell you that Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, and then they deny the power, insisting that you're not saved until you get water baptized. Then come the questions. How to baptize? Should it be by immersion? Should it be by pouring? Should it be by sprinkling in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus? Does the baptism at one church get you to heaven while the baptism at another has no effect at all? Still, others will tell you that salvation is a product of believing the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, but then you cannot so much as sing one note in the choir or teach one verse in Sunday school until you have been water baptized. Isn't it funny how they never stop you from putting the envelope into the collection plate even when you have not been water baptized? How is a soul saved? Do we have security of salvation, not able to lose it even if we sin? Do we really need to constantly ask Jesus for his forgiveness for our sins when that was accomplished by Jesus' death? Are we going to heaven or to the land of Jordan? What is the bride of Christ? Are miracles and healings for the church today? Has all prophecy been fulfilled? Will there really be a 7-year tribulation with an Antichrist? And will we have to go through it? What is the rapture? Will you be left behind or meet the Lord in the air? When will this happen? How does prayer work? Can we really ask God for material blessings and expect to receive them? Are we supposed to tithe or give as we purpose in our hearts? Will we lose our salvation if we miss a church service? What is the will of God? What is God's will for our lives? Why does God allow sin in the world? And why did God create the devil only to let him tempt man to sin? All these and many more Bible questions can be answered by learning how to 2 Timothy 2:15 rightly divide a Bible you can trust and believe. You can be certain that God has perfectly preserved His Word in the English language that you can speak and understand. You need not learn Greek. You need not learn Hebrew or Aramaic languages. You need not attend seminary for years upon years. You can understand what God has said to all that would listen throughout the ages. You can come to know the peace of God that is the full assurance of your soul's salvation and full assurance of what God is doing yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and exactly how you fit in the picture. The answer that you're looking for is Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division of a King James Bible. Only by being able to correctly identify and know what doctrines are for you today will you ever be able to, 1 Timothy 2:4, come unto the knowledge of the truth and the peace of mind that God wants you to have. That is exactly what is taught at the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. You will not be embarrassed in front of the congregation. You will not be asked to get up in front of everyone and introduce yourself. I'm not interested in making a spectacle of you, but rather making a saint, an ambassador of God's third heaven, a soldier of the cross, equipped to tackle everything that life and the devil have to throw at you. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will be welcomed, and welcome to come and go as you please. You will not be asked to sign up for anything, give anything, say or do anything. All I ask is that you give us a try. You might just be pleasantly surprised to find a friendly atmosphere, of course not so friendly that we're going to want to move into your living room with you or have you make a lifelong commitment. When you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, bring your Bible or use one of ours. I would never ask you to believe anything I say without first checking it out for yourself in the Bible, our final authority. When you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, prepare to hear things that you have never been taught in any other church at any other time. Things that may seem foreign or strange or just downright wrong. Again, don't believe me. Believe your Bible. If you're still afraid to attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly in person, try attending via the internet at www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find instruction on how you can attend our live services via the internet each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for teaching, 11 a.m. for the preaching service, and each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We hope to see you soon at the Master Builder Grace Assembly.
Are things that are different really different? We're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide the word of truth, and most churches are going to say, well, we do that. We have the Old Testament, and we have the New Testament. Do you realize, though, that what you're doing is dividing one of two things in your Bible? You're dividing the two testaments of the prophecy program. There is, in fact, a third thing that most churches have not recognized, and that is the mystery program that given to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at some of the prophecy program, and when we find Zacharias back in Luke chapter 1, verse 70, everything that he was preaching had been spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, Luke 1, 70. We find Peter in the early book of Acts in chapter 3, verse 20, and he is preaching the resurrected and ascended Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the future, Peter says, he shall send Jesus Christ, that of course for the institution of the earthly kingdom, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Now there is a third thing in your Bible, both Zacharias and Peter dealing with the prophetic program of the prophetic people, the nation Israel. Paul in Romans chapter 16:25 reveals a mystery, something which had not been spoken, when he says, now to him which is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according, not to prophecy, not according to that of Zacharias or of Peter, but rather according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Things that are different are different, and we should let them remain different when we find them in our Bible. We shouldn't correct them. We shouldn't seek out a new version or a different rendering. We shouldn't Greek the English Bible, but rather take our King James Bible, God's perfectly preserved word, and believe every word of it. Let every word say exactly what it says to whom it says it. Now the question would arise, who should we pay attention to? Should we listen to Zacharias? Should we listen to Peter? Should we listen to Paul, who introduces this mystery information which was kept secret? Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul tells us, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. There's your answer. He is the man with the information for the Gentiles. That would be you. You're not Israel. You're not a Jew. You're not living in a kingdom. You're not going to tabernacle every Saturday. You're not making animal sacrifices. You are, in fact, a Gentile, and we have our own apostle, that the Apostle Paul. Paul, he was the only apostle, and I mean the only apostle, given the mystery information that is relevant for us, the church, the body of Christ today. Read with me in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 3, when Paul tells us how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read, that would be your Bible. When you actually pick up the Bible and crack open the cover and read the words, ye may understand my knowledge, Paul says, in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You see, Paul got a message starting in Acts chapter 9. When the Lord met Paul on the road to Damascus, up until then, this mystery information revealed to Paul and given to us Gentiles was not revealed. It was not known. It was kept a secret since the world began. Paul then was made a minister, not of the prophetic program of Israel, but rather of the mystery information with a ministry to the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul proclaims, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, Paul says, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable, because the information that is revealed by Paul, given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 9 and after, is unsearchable anywhere in your Bible prior to Acts chapter 9. You won't find the mystery truths given to us by the Apostle Paul, exclaimed by any other prophet, no, not Moses, no, not David, no, not the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who came but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel during his earthly ministry. None of the things spoken by the Apostle Paul were given to us by the prophetic program. So, you must in fact pay attention to the right people if you're going to pay attention to the right instructions that are tailored for you, given for you for your salvation. And verse 9, Paul says, we are to make all men see what is this fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Up until the time that it was revealed by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began had been hid in God so well that even the host of heaven, the cherubims, the seraphim, the angels, anything up there in heaven, the spiritual beings that live up there, I've never been there. I don't know what all that heaven contains. One day we'll find out, will we not? But even the host of heaven was kept in the dark concerning this mystery information, which is now revealed to us only in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. We are to make all men see what is this fellowship of the mystery, to the intent, for the reason that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Known by the church, we are to do the preaching of the mystery, Romans 16:25, according to the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:25, that containing Paul's my gospel, Romans 16:25. A lot in that verse, is there not? And we are making known to beings and all those spiritual beings and angels in heavenly places the mystery which had been hid in God, and that according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the revelation of this mystery information given to the Apostle Paul, we find out some tremendous, wonderful truths concerning our relationship to Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the mystery information which is given to Paul, we have access to God by faith in Christ and that alone. There is no more need for water baptism. There is no more need for animal sacrifices or circumcision. No more need for the keeping of holy days and ordinances, those given to the nation Israel under the prophetic program. We are not in prophecy. You are not seeing prophetic fulfillment of anything in your Bible. I don't care what Jack Van Impey tries to tell you. You're not seeing any new fulfillment and have not for over 1900 years and will not again until the body of Christ is out of here. We are, as commonly as referred to, raptured. We meet the Lord in the air. Then the prophetic program will once again reinstitute and take up again. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, we find out that we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can have confidence. We can know for a certainty that our soul is saved. We can know for a certainty because of the revelation of the mystery and that information given specifically for us in this, the dispensation of the grace of God, that we have security of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, in His payment made on our behalf when He died for the forgiveness of all our sins on Calvary's cross. It is then the church's job to make this mystery information known not only to those hosts of heaven in heaven, but also to all men. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says that utterance should be given to all of us that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know that you are indwelt by Christ. You know that you have become the body of Christ, that by a dry baptism performed by the Holy Spirit into Christ's very body, and our hearts might be comforted. They should be comforted, Colossians 2:2, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. You know there are people in your Bible that want you to know what God would like you to have as far as information goes. God did not want you to be an ignorant dolt. God did not want you ignorant of what He has to say in His Bible. God doesn't want you to have to depend upon the preacher or the teacher. He wants you to study to show yourself approved. He wants you to have full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Once you understand your Bible, once you understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, once you understand that there is mystery information given specifically for you, then you can turn to, for instance, Isaiah chapter 61 in verse 1 and read and know that what you're reading is according to the prophetic program for the nation Israel. Read with me in Isaiah 61 in verse 1, where Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty of the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now you say, well, that's a prophecy, and it certainly is. That's a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ coming and proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord to the nation Israel, and then you have the day of vengeance of our God. That would be the 7-year period of tribulation, great tribulation of Matthew chapter 24, and to comfort all that mourn, that has to do with the nation Israel entering into their earthly kingdom. Jesus, isn't it interesting that in Luke chapter 4 verse 16, he comes to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He had a book. He had a book that he believed and trusted, and he wasn't going to Greek it. He wasn't going to correct it or look for a different version. He took the one that they gave him, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and he quotes out of the book of Isaiah what I just wrote you and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You see, Jesus knew that the prophetic program contained a prophecy about him, and that he was to come and do those things, to heal the sick, and to give sight to the blind, and to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and the acceptable year of the Lord, which that fulfilled as they watched Jesus. That was being fulfilled during his earthly ministry. What was it that Isaiah said that Jesus did not? Jesus closed the book before he read the day of vengeance of our God concerning the tribulation period. Jesus closed the book before he got to the kingdom part that comforts all that mourn. Jesus knew that the prophecy program would in fact have an interruption that by this mystery program given to the Apostle Paul. You see the prophecy concerning the 7 years of tribulation for Israel and the appearance of Christ culminating in the establishment of a literal, visible, earthly, messianic kingdom has not yet come to pass. We know that. I had to go and work on underneath my car to turn some bolts with a wrench, and my knuckles show the results of that. Obviously, we're not living in the kingdom. Things break. We still bleed. Not everything is perfect. So these things have not come to pass because of the interruption of the prophetic program and the introduction of the mystery program, Ephesians 3:2, where Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to the Apostle Paul to give to you, whereof he is made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to the Apostle Paul for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from saints, from ages, from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. You see, the reason for this dispensation of the grace of God in which we now live is that the prophetic program and the prophetic people have been set aside, that for a time, Romans 11:25, when Paul says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. I feel the same way. I don't want you to be ignorant of Paul's mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until a specific time, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You see, the dispensation of grace was given so that salvation would come directly to us, the Gentiles, and not just through unbelieving Israel. We find that in Romans 11:11, when Paul says, have they stumbled that they should fall, referring to Israel? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. There will in fact be a time when there will be a resumption of the prophetic program of Israel, when all those things spoken by Isaiah will play out. There will be a tribulation period. There will be a kingdom here on earth. But until then, we have this dispensation of the grace of God. Now, this dispensation will terminate when the body of Christ meets the Lord in the air, commonly called the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, meeting the Lord in the air and going to heaven, that's a mystery truth, not a prophetic truth. You see, not everyone in your Bible had intention of spending eternity in heaven. Job, in chapter 19, verse 25, proclaims, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day, that would be in the kingdom establishment, upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. You see, Job expected to stand on the earth and see Christ. We have an understanding that we are have all blessings not of this earth, but in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. And you don't want to be the one that is, just like Tim LaHaye said, left behind. After the body of Christ is taken from this earth, the resumption of the prophetic program will occur. And if you'll find yourself, if you're left behind, smack dab in the middle of Israel's tribulation, the prophetic program. Unfortunately, 2 Thessalonians 2:9 has some bad news, because even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, that's the Antichrist, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, those who reject the gospel of the grace of God, the truth of the mystery, have a problem because, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and that they might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friends, you need to pay attention to your apostle who declares to you, brethren, the gospel by which ye are saved, for I deliver delivered unto you first all that I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the Scriptures. There you have the gospel of the grace of God. Trust Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection as payment for all your sins. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton. You can contact me by writing to Post Office Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio 45370, or check out the website. Contact me from there, www.wonderfulgrace.org. Thank you for listening.